This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, December 11th, 2016. The Third Sunday of Advent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
As we have proceeded through this Lenten, or this Advent season, Lenten comes into my mind because they are both equal, and pointing that out. They are equal in that they are both times of preparation. They are both times when, if you don't have a proper outlook on things, they can sound very heavy. They can sound very fire and brimstone-y. That's the way they should be presented. But you should not look at it as being burdensome. Advent and Lent are burdensome in the respect that we take those times in the liturgical year to hopefully turn our backs just a little bit, on the comforts of this world, the things that we like to do, because it gives us a perspective that it's not about this place, it is about something else. And as opposed to approaching the whole thing as a heavy burden upon us, and this woe is me, I'm not worthy to stand before my Lord as judge. You are correct. He makes you worthy. This is not a time where you should beat yourself up. This is a time of encouragement. Both Advent and Lent are a time to encourage us to move closer and closer to our Lord. The metaphors that are used throughout the scriptures today, both in the first reading from the Old Testament in Isaiah to the Gospel, our Lord uses, tell John what you see. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dead are raised. Our Lord objectively performed those miracles. Literally, blind people saw, crippled people walked. As glorious as that is, we have to understand that what he communicates to us by doing that is much more profound. Because what he's talking about when he does that, when he shows us manifestly a blind person seeing, that's the eyes of a person who does not see him. Spiritual blindness, spiritual crippled, spiritually deaf, spiritually dead. Holy Spirit teaches us through St. Paul that we are dead in trespasses and sins. Not sick, not, a little behind the curve. You are dead in your trespasses and sins. Okay, we get that. For us who are in here right now, it should be the ultimate of encouragement to go through these liturgical times when you desire to fix things that need to be fixed, and even if it doesn't need to be fixed, to make it better. The metaphors in the Old Testament from Isaiah today, it starts out talking about the return of the redeemed to Zion, people that were literally in exile from their country, being brought back into their country, and they walked through the desert to get there. And the Holy Spirit says to the prophet Isaiah, the desert shall rejoice and blossom. I don't live in a desert. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. It doesn't matter how green and lush it may be out there. It is a desert because of the absence of our Lord Jesus Christ. The absence of people living in accord with God's revealed will. It is indeed a desert. It's got even worse things going for it. It's just not a desert as in barren and dry, but it is overrun with evil. the desert shall rejoice and blossom. The Holy Spirit is communicating to us that that desert, and it's not just out there. You know, I always say it starts in here. Before we come to our Lord Jesus Christ, our souls are desert. They are barren. They are dry. There is a dearth of the presence of our Lord. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. It shall be glad. It shall rejoice with joy and singing, because they shall see the glory of the Lord and the majesty of their God. I don't think you realize how much you have going for you. You don't realize where this path is taking you. This path of sitting in here right now, sitting in here Sunday after Sunday, hopefully even more often than that. But sitting in here and listening and being nurtured to continue to walk in your faith. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of their God. The people in the Old Testament was nothing but metaphorical for them. We know better. It is a reality for us. In these times that the church gives us, the liturgical season, these words from both all the readings today from the gospel, they are to strengthen and comfort the people of God with his promises. We indeed are working through things. We indeed, in Advent and Lent, pay particular attention to being introspective and to do soul searching and how we could do things better. But the encouragement that you should have for understanding that as burdensome as it is, get up early on a Sunday or on a Saturday night, drive to Incarnation. Nobody lives close to this place, okay? Driving all the way here. Those little things, as annoying as they can be, I don't think we ever sit back and say, why are we doing this? Why do we do anything in life? To benefit. I say all the time, we have an ulterior motive for being here. We want to go to heaven. All right, that's what this is about. And this is where we are encouraged to do that. Advent and Lent, as burdensome as they are when you compare it to the things of the world. Oh, I like eating this, or I like doing this, or I like sleeping 8 hours a day. Whatever it is that your discipline may be, whatever it may be, it should be encouraging, not burdensome. It should enliven you to move on. Because the Holy Spirit tells us through Isaiah, and this is back in the Old Testament, he said, the fearful of heart, to the fearful of heart, be strong. Be strong. Fear not. Well, all we keep hearing is he's going to come back as our judge. He is. He is. Put yourself in a position where it doesn't make any difference. The preface that we hear all through Advent, what do we hear in the preface? That when he returns in glory, that we will, without shame or fear, rejoice in his appearing. Yet he is the judge. The only time you have to worry is when you've turned your back on him. The only time you have to worry is when you're disobedient. This is the times when we fix those things. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Those are metaphors, folks. We're not talking about the appendages that hang at the end of your arms. The scriptures use metaphorical, anatomical things, okay, to emphasize a message. For instance, we hear about our Lord bringing the people out of Egypt with his strong right arm. Newsflash, God's a spirit, doesn't have arms. We hear about him seeing things, smelling things, hearing things. He doesn't have ears, he doesn't have eyes, he doesn't have a nose, okay? It puts it in language that we can understand, all right? That's what that's about. The same thing, just don't only apply to God, but it applies to the truths that he communicates. Strengthen the weak hands. What are the hands? The hands are the things that do things for God in our case. We do things for him. The Holy Spirit said we are to strengthen the weak hands. That's what we do in Advent. That's what we do in Lent. We strengthen our weak hands. What have I done amiss? Let's not even take that with the, hey, I did something wrong. What could I do better? What could strengthen my hands? I'm doing a pretty good job. Hey, you're all sitting here. Good job. Okay? What do I do to increase what I do for the Lord? that increase in the strength of my hands. Make firm the feeble knees. Not only being able to stand before your judge when he comes back, but to stand stalwartly and communicate his gospel to other people. We need his help to do that. We have free will. That's why we have the church. That's why we have the sacraments. That's why we have the means of grace. We do have free will, but never lose sight of the fact that God is sovereign. God is sovereign. You cannot thwart his plans. You know, I despise. That was not God's will. Then whose was it? We have free will, but he is sovereign. He will work through you turning your back on him. We have to appreciate that about him. His plan is going to come to fruition. His program is going to come to the fore. We just need to use our terms in our day and age, get with the program. That's what our liturgical life is all about. That's what our practical Catholicism manifests, is this understanding that he has done it for us. We are on a highway through this time of Exodus, through this time of walking toward that ultimate goal. We're on a highway. It says in the, I always point out, I don't know if you've noticed your bulletin, I'm trying to get you attuned to doing this. When you open your bulletin, it says Isaiah 35, 1 through 6, and then 10, you should go, I should be most interested in what's going on in 7 and not through 9. Okay? Why did they leave that out? Well, sometimes it's just for time, other times it's not. Sometimes it's because what is said doesn't really jive with the presentation currently. And one of the things that doesn't jive with the presentation currently is false ecumenism. This I'm okay, you're okay, relativistic kind of thing. Verses 7 through 9 speak against that. They are exclusive. It talks about this highway upon which we walk. And it says, the redeemed shall walk there. The ransomed of the Lord shall return. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Not everybody walks there. It's not a path for everybody to walk. It's for the redeemed. What do you think being ransomed meant to an Old Testament person? I mean, they muddled through this whole Messiah deal. You know, who is it going to be? How's it going to come about? Is it going to be some person that comes and raises up some armies so we can get the Romans out? What is it about? They didn't have a concept that God himself was going to clothe himself with flesh and dwell among us. They had no concept of that. So when they're the ransomed, who's going to pay something for me? What are they going to pay? We know how it came to the fore. We know how it panned out. We know who ransomed us. We know the price he had to pay. We know that they don't out there in the world. You have to appreciate that. This should be where the encouragement starts. You are on the path. You are on the highway to this everlasting life to which we aspire. The only highway that there is our Lord Jesus Christ. It is exclusive. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he does not mean way as in method. He means way as in I am the pathway to the Father. And he says, no one comes to the Father but through me on that pathway. It is exclusive. And he has instituted this highway, and it is called the Catholic Church. The redeemed shall walk there. Not everybody. The redeemed, the ransomed of the Lord, the one for whom he has shed his blood. Now he has shed his blood for everyone. Everyone. One drop of it could have covered the sins of everyone in the universe for all eternity. And he emptied himself of his blood. You have to embrace that offer of his shed blood in faith and obedience. You are the ransomed. And it gets even more exclusive. Talks about the ransom. Then it says, the unclean shall not pass over it. The unclean, those who have not embraced, who have been washed in the blood of Christ, those people are unclean. The unclean shall not pass over it. They are not in the Catholic Church. this whole everybody's a child of God thing, it's fallacious in the sense that everybody's going to heaven. That's universalism, and it's a heresy. That's all there is to it. The redeemed go to heaven. Those who embrace our Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone are going to heaven. This is that whole toil thing, this groaning that we do while we are in this world. We toil and we groan trying to work through these things. The church gives us times like Advent and Lent to toil through, to get our mind right, to focus. What have we done wrong? What could we do better? We're on this journey of toil and groaning to a point where it will be past, this eternal life. We read at the end of the book of Revelation, St. John the Divine is getting a vision of heaven. We don't know a whole lot about heaven explicitly, but we know what, there are no more tears there. That's New Testament stuff. That's after the end of the reading from Isaiah. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. We can't get our heads nor our hearts around where we're going. We try, but we cannot get our hearts and heads around. You're not supposed to. It is that glorious. It is that special. St. John Chrysostom says, consider the other life so far as it is possible to consider it. Think about it. Consider the other life as far as it's possible to consider it, because we can't get it. We don't get it. A place where there is no disease, a place where there is no injury. Imagine that, you know, I was talking to somebody this weekend, is it, you know, about my age, young person. They said, you know, I can't keep track of all my friends that have cancer. Yeah, I know the deal. Okay. Imagine not worrying about that ever. No one would ever get it. No one would ever get anything. Parkinson's, cancer, whatever. A place where there are no injuries. No, you don't even get hurt. No anger, no envy, no anxiety about necessities of life. Oh, my job, oh, this or that. Can you imagine? No, you can't. No, you can't, but that's what awaits you. That is what should be so encouraging about these times. And the church even interjects that encouragement a little bit. We have Advent and Lent. There's always 1 week during Advent and Lent when the penitential purple goes away, brightens up just a tad. These are rose, not pink. It lightens up a tad because it's supposed to be encouraging. Yeah, you're on it. You're in a struggle. You should be during Advent and Lent. Here's a little glimmer of why you're doing what you're doing. And then both of those seasons lead to mysteries of our faith that are beyond imagination, the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then ultimately the resurrection from the dead of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't get it. It's too much for us. How encouraging is it to understand that it awaits you? Just as I said before, for lack of a better term, you just need to get with the program. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.